What am I saying? That is because we love to walk only with what? Promises. We don't remember his commandments. We don't know his precepts. And we really don't care about his testimonies. I ended last week. I told a few stories. Let me explain some things from that again so as to lay my emphasis. Remember, faith is not a set of actions you practice and you execute. Faith is not stubbornness of heart. I hope you understand that. Many years ago, I had a discussion with some brethren. I'm sure they've changed their minds now. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the king, and they said, "Here, O king, we are not going to be careful to answer you concerning this matter of bowing down to your idol." He said, "The Lord our God is able to deliver us. Even though he does not, we still will not bow." They said, "Even if not," there's a way it's written in King James. So some people said that the reason why God delivered them was that they confessed that he could deliver them. Hallelujah. Listen, that was not why he delivered them. They said that when they said, "Even though he does not," they didn't say, "Even though he does not." They said, "Even if you will not put us in the fire." I said, "Sir, what did you say?" Said, "No," they maintained their confession that God was going to deliver them. Listen to me, brethren, arrant nonsense. They maintained their confession, their commitment to God, and they said, "Even if we have to die, we will die rather than bow to your idols." It's not as if they had some confession they could not, you mustn't change their minds about. Faith is not just about saying the right things. You know, I've been saying the right things is part of, is a natural outworking of faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a natural outworking of faith. That's what I want to emphasize again and again. That is, if I'm persuaded, you know my example. If I saw my wife on the other side of the road and I waved, and I said, "Who are you waving to?" I don't need to tell you, "Hallelujah, wait. That woman on the other side, amen, is my wife. I speak to you as it were, as it is spoken in heaven, that she's my wife." No. I'll just say it in passing. "That's my wife." And we'll continue. Are you following what I'm saying? Faith is part of everyday life. Double-mindedness. If you've been receiving my e-sermons, I explained something about double-mindedness over the last two sermons. I said, a double-minded man is a man who we say, as an example, "God, you will prosper me. God, you will help me. God, you will open great doors for me anywhere in the world." Then he will counsel his friend, who's a fellow Christian, and say, "Oh boy, your things are so bad, I think you should run away." I don't know what you're hearing. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He's counseling a fellow believer, and he's telling the person, "Disobey the precepts." You see what I'm saying? It's not about commandments. That's the next thing people love to follow. Commandments. They said we should not do this. They said we should not say this. But there's a way God is. If I want to talk to a true believer like myself, I say, "Oh boy, come." You know, there are pastors, listen to me, who counsel girls in their church, young women. They say, "If the man is nice, even if he's not a believer, you can marry him. That is an unbeliever. I don't care that he has a title. I don't care. Tonight, you will claim it by force. Say to God, in the name of Jesus." Listen, that's what we love to practice. It's called rote worship. The true worship is when you were counseling the women in your church, you opened your mouth and took a scripture that publicly you have declared to them, "Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever." Then privately you said to them, "We are all children of God. If he's nice." After all, there are some Christians that are not nice. Don't you think so? And the guy will say, "Yes, yes, yes." I said, "Pastor, this was very nice. You know, this is Valentine weekend. I know what to expect." In fact, I've been using style to tell him over the last 6 weeks that I'm tired of trekking. I know what to expect. Pastor says, "Amen." Look, when God opens a door, you should step into it. And you know, I've told you, every trap The front is an open door. Have you ever seen a trap that starts with a closed door? It's also what? An open door. Now, when God wants to judge that man's faith, that's what I'm talking about. He doesn't judge the faith by what he says standing here. He said, as a man, he said, don't eat the bread of a stingy man. He said, because even though he says, eat, his heart is not with you. As a man thinks in his heart, that is what he really is. We used to say that if you think like a millionaire, you become a millionaire. That was not what he said. He said, you cannot judge a man by what you see and by what he says. It's only as he thinks. As he thinks in his heart, that's how he is. And God, who sees the heart, that's how he judges us also. Do you follow my point? You are a believer. You are saying, I'm believing God. I marry a good wife. Then you can't sell your friend. Also a believer. Say, where is that sister from? Say, she's from this part of our state. You know women from that area, they are dangerous. You are an unbeliever. And your prayer is in vain. Listen. It is forbidden you open your mouth and call a redeemed child of God blood-bought. You know what you are saying? You are saying the blood of Jesus doesn't work all the time. It's only when he sees our enemies. Faith is not about, I have some steps I have practiced. As I take those steps, I begin to see results. I don't have nonsense. People now start copying steps. They don't receive results. Because even though they follow every step, they follow every commandment, as it were, but it appears like they don't see anything. You know why? Because all the precepts are out of order. They have no personal testimonies. Christians love promises. We want to operate by promises. For example, I've noticed that every church... Now, please, you have to understand what I'm saying. Balance is what I'm discussing now. Every church has a phrase for the year, you know? There's always my year of something good. Do you understand? It has never been my year of caution. You know that? It has never been my year of carefulness. It has never been my year of planning. It has never been my year of execution. It's always my year of breakthrough, my year of increase, my year of fruitfulness, my year of double fruitfulness, my year of exceedingly abundantly increasing favor on every side, exploding to every corner. Are they good things? Yes, they are. It's called thy word to thy servant. They are promises. But they don't fulfill themselves except they meet a heart that respects the precepts of God. A heart that respects the commandments of God. A heart, listen, that God will give his own testimonies as life moves on. It is not possible to grab only the promises and expect God to bless you like he blessed Caleb. Caleb said, why was I blessed? Because I followed the Lord fully. What is my definition for following God fully? Is to observe his precepts, observe his commandments, observe your own testimonies that he has given to you, and then hold on to his promises. That's how you observe, you follow the Lord fully. There's something I say all the time to us. Christianity is not a struggle. There's one example I like to use for it. Let me just put it by the side to help one or two people. Many years ago, a friend of mine, I saw her. But I didn't see her for a while. So that day I just went to go and visit. I haven't seen for some time, maybe like 2-3 years. And I said, Banky, didn't you say I'd gained a lot of weight? And I said to her, yes. I noticed. She said, you didn't see anything. I said, everybody's been telling you, I'm sure. So you are very correct. I said, do you want to lose weight? That's what I can discuss. That you have gained weight, you know. Your bathroom skill knows. Your tailor knows. Your clothes know. Everybody knows. What am I going to do? Adding to it again. She said, that is true. I want to lose some weight. I said, nah, let's talk. I gave her a few principles. I won't go about it in details now. All right? And she said, after all of this, how much weight am I going to lose? I remember I said 3 kg in the first 1 week, in the first 1 month. I said 2 kg in the second month, 2 kg in the third month. Then maybe 1 kg after that. After that, you stabilize and your weight is not going down further. I remember then she calculated, she said 7 kg. Like over the next 3 months. I said yes. I said, if you have to lose further weight, you have to take some more drastic actions. And she hissed. and said, I've lost 7 kg in 1 week before. And I said simply to her, where is it? I said, show me. You can't show me. You lost 7 kg in 1 week and gained 8 kg in 2 weeks after that. So, back to not square, zero. You are behind where you were before. Now, this is where I'm going. I tell people, I say, your weight is not a decision in one moment that you achieve in 1 week. It's a lifestyle. It's simple. I gain weight every December. I have never been able not to gain weight every December. And you say, why? Because December, I hardly go anywhere. You know what I mean? Moving around. And when I travel, for example, if we go down to my in-laws' place, it's one place where I really do absolutely nothing. And I get pumped with food every day. If you meet my mother-in-law now, oh, you have come, she'll give you food. 2 hours later, hey, have they given Banky anything? 6 hours later, do you want a drink? It's the usual thing, that just the way she has. She's a very hospitable person. I don't do much, you know, kingdom what? There's no editing of tape sweating. Israel, what's happening? Yeah, there's nothing like that in December. You're a witness. I don't take invitations. I don't preach. I rest. So, there's no how. December, I must put at least 1.5 to 2 kg to my weight. I'm never worried. You know why? 1.5 weeks into January. It vanishes like smoke. Why? Because your weight is what? A habit. It's a habit. So, it's just a reflection of your habit. I mean, I want to explain the matter of faith. Faith is like that also. It is not when I am sick, I suddenly dig up the faith for healing. I either have it or I don't. It's not when I'm poor, I suddenly reach inside and bring out the faith for abundance and prosperity. Listen, I either have it or I don't. What I do is that I cultivate a lifestyle of faith. Please, if you haven't, go and read the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. That was what I tried to teach in that book. Many people are running after promises. The promises don't work because the precepts and testimonies are out of order. Completely out of order. Listen, we have to follow God fully. We can't follow God only with His promises. In the time of affliction, the time of adversity, He will give you some precepts. Oh, I like the way my pastor in Lagos said something once. Pastor Poju, that was church I attended when I was in Lagos. He said there was a time, now listen to this. These are testimonies, personal commandments. There was a time he needed to pay rent in church, you know, the hall they were using. Rent was due and there was no money. And he went and prayed and prayed. This is the interesting part. At the end of the prayer and meditation, you think you will expect that, what this is what you expect to hear. At the end of the prayer, I just woke up one morning and the Lord said, my son, look up to the heavens. Naira, I said, reach out to your hands. I'm about to rain dollar from heaven. No. At the end of the prayer, you know what he came up with? Listen, this is the interesting part. He came up with a decision that I will never, ever announce on the pulpit the needs of the church. That's a personal what? Testimony. And as long as he observes that, he will never lack money. And since then, they have never lacked money. Do you understand my point? The church has just been growing and growing and more money is being spent every time. But in the time of affliction, he came out with a testimony that no matter how hard, God, I will never beg for money. Do you understand my point? People in the time of the affliction, I want to tell you this. It is time to, you know, we pray for too much breakthrough. Sometimes God takes those afflictions or he uses those afflictions to call our attention. I was still reading Ken Hagin, I Believe in Visions, this both yesterday and this morning. And he said there was a time he fell and broke his elbow. This is summary. And the Lord appeared to him in a vision while he was on the hospital bed. And said, the title of that chapter is The Hospital Visitor. And the Lord said to him in simple terms, from now on, this is summary of it, you will put your prophetic office ahead of your teaching office. If you don't, you're dead at the age of 55. Personal testimony. Listen, there may be other people. Like I say to you all the time, Daniel was not a prophet in Israel, in Babylon. He was what? A civil servant. Everybody. The problem we have is that everybody wants to follow his particular path. For one particular method that somebody else went through before. Meanwhile, everybody has his own race. Ministry, we must follow like this. How do you get money for ministry? Everybody, hey, listen, they want to follow this, how this man does it. Somebody was asking my wife once, said, hey, how does this man do it? If only we can learn his method. I'm always saying, it is not the method. Listen, if you want to start ministry, money can be an issue. Right now, we pay money to... Some people who don't understand, they say, it's because pastor has a lot of money, that's why he doesn't talk about it. No, it's also my own testimony. I will never, ever beg when it comes to the money for ministry. Because for me, personally, it's a sign of what God asked me to do and what he didn't ask me to do. Once I can't pay for it, he didn't ask me to do it. Paying Omega Channel and DSTV at the same time is a lot of money. Do you get my point? Yes. So people, if you are going into ministry, you need to know what you are going to do. I'm not saying how you will raise money. But you just know, for example, that pastor I was telling you about, his own testimony is, I will never, ever, from the pulpit, declare needs. No. In fact, he said something that made me laugh. There once, you know his father, his parents are educated people. His mother, I think, is a professor. His father is a medical doctor. He said one day, of course, the folks have been wondering, this amount of money you people spend, where does it come from? They will look at the church, you know, it's full of young people. You know, where is this money coming from? So one day he went home and he was watching the story of Peter Daniels. You know Peter Daniels, we talked about him. The man is a very rich man. So his father turned to his mother and said, that this is the old man that's supplying with funds. Now we know. Of course, the man neither knows him nor has he ever given him one dime. But his father just couldn't understand how these young people will gather and be rolling and spending millions and millions of naira. And some people want to copy his story. They don't understand that they also need to settle down in the time of affliction and get their own testimony. Are you getting what I'm saying? We have to follow God fully. You cannot follow God only by his promises. That's what people do today, and it's around nonsense. You can't. You have to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Don't forget, loving God is not hugging and kissing him. That's for your wife. Amen? Loving people with hugs and kisses is for human beings you have affection for. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him. And I and the Father will come and make our abode with him. Loving God is keeping his word. That's what we're talking about. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Not one part of it. There's something I tell Christians all the time. I keep on using marriage as an example. Maybe because a lot of you are not married, so I have to prepare you for these things. Because you need them. I said, you can never marry using the customs and the culture and the beliefs of your people. If you do, pray to the village idol for happiness. Pray to that village idol for the fruit of the womb. Pray to the village idol for long life and prosperity. You cannot finish using their precepts. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You can't finish using their precepts to take a wife and then not turn to God and say, bless me. God said, you have broken it. You are not following me with all thy heart. You know, I look back and I'm so happy. I've disagreed with many people. I remember once I spoke with ladies.
And they said, leave him. He wants to marry from his village. Why? Because I showed them what the word of God says. This is my wife of today. When we first met them, I used to talk with her. One day, finally, she said, please, I'm not saying you are wrong, but I just want to ask a question. Are you saying that you are right and all these people are wrong? That is, as far as she's concerned, this is too much. And because I had to be Jesus-like, you know, Jesus' wisdom. And they say, should we pay tax or not? You have to, if you just say, goza this way, trouble. Goza that way, trouble. So he said, give me a coin. Decide for yourself. Whose likeness? In the same manner, I said to her, before I answer the question, how many Israelites were there that left Egypt? Quite a few millions. I said, how many people were right? How many were wrong? At Kadesh Barnea. I said, you see, it's possible for one person to be right in the midst of a million people. I said, yes, I think I am right. If they are wrong, it is because they disagreed with the precepts revealed in the word of God. And I wrote in my notes here, precepts are detected or deciphered from the previous works of God. There was no commandment that told David not to touch Saul. There was none. I mean, it was his enemy. It made sense. His men said, Oga, this is an open door. I've been telling you about open doors. Traps, the first step into a trap is an open door. They said, this is an open door. In fact, his right-hand man said, sir, I swear by Almighty God that I shall strike him only once. If I miss, kill me. And the man said, how can we touch the anointed of God and be guiltless? David so believed in those precepts of God that when a man came to lie, that he was the one that killed Saul, he killed the man. And you know why he killed the man? It's more of, don't bring your curse upon us. Go with your trouble. That's what I call precepts. There's a way God does things. Ed Cole said, practical atheism. You know, they say there's no God, there's no God. He said, being a practical atheist is not by raising a fist and saying there's no God. He says, living as if there's none. I was watching, I told you that day, Joel Osteen being interviewed by Piers Morgan on CNN. And he said, what do you think about homosexuality? He said, well, I love the homosexuals. I believe God loved them too. But the Bible says clearly that it's wrong. It's perversion. It's against the will of God. He said, who are you to judge? And I wanted to jump through the television and say, Oga, Piers Morgan, are you deaf? The guy has not judged. He has quoted Bible for you. He didn't judge. God judged. What they are demanding of people. I said, I was just imagining me being interviewed by the man. I said, I'll tell him simply. If I came up tomorrow, you know, let's say I come back from this interview, and you heard I just divorced my wife and married another woman 1 week after I was here, wouldn't you ask me what happened? Would it not be against what you understand as a preacher and a Christian should be? Why? Because of what the word of God says. Why are you not asking me to drop one side and hold on to another side? You want me to be a good father, a good family man, a good husband, but you don't want me to say homosexuality is wrong. I have to follow the Lord my God with all my heart. And if he says one is wrong, any other thing he says is wrong if I want one to be wrong still. What they are asking Americans, what the people in the Western world are asking the Christians to do, now is simple. Follow God with half of your heart. Half, that's too much. Why should you follow God with half? Follow God with one tenth of your heart. That's why when people tell me that once you pay a tithe, you have given God his portion. Arrant nonsense. Who owns the other 90%? You? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy money. For information, the word might is money. Not literally, but applied. He said, for it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get strength. The literal Hebrew there says strength. What we call wealth. He said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get power. That's how he said it. So I tell people, you can't pay God off with 10% and lay claim to the 90%.
It does not work. It's not Christianity. It is modified Judaism. So I don't believe in it. 100% belongs to God. Then I get my personal testimony. My testimony. Between my wife and I and our family, it's the way we arrange money. Currently, my wife is paying debt. If I tell you the kind of debt, you will laugh. From the business she does. To the work of preaching of the gospel. Why? Because we agreed once that a certain proportion, I won't tell you the exact amount, goes towards preaching. And she had not done accounts in a long time. It's not a tithe at all. Not a tithe. It's a personal testimony that I said, God, if you give me 20 naira, I give this amount. But she's just been going just to settle down, and if you're a business person, you must do accounts. Because the Bible says, know the condition of your flock. Because riches are not forever. Simple. That you must do accounts. So it's by personal precepts, we decided, a testimony, that this is how it's going to be. So finally, after a long time, she asked and I said, let me do the accounts properly. And found out that even though I've been given the work for the preaching of the gospel, this certain amount is short in the total I'm supposed to have given over the last 2 years. It's personal. You can fight over. Don't we hear that? As long as they believe in tithing, I wish they gave a quarter what I give with their rubbish tithe. As a matter of fact, You see, people say that you give to God. I say, where is God? It's a good question. You'll soon receive in our sermons. Where is he? I have located where God is. He said, in that you received the smallest of my brethren, you have received me also. That's God. In that a man preaches the word of God to you and you honor him, that's God. In that the word of God is sponsored by your hand, that is God. He said, in that you honor your parents, that is God. So Jesus looked at them and said, you have made the word of God of no effect by your traditions. In that what a man is supposed to give to his parents, he said, he should say, I have given it as a vow to God. Jesus was saying, in effect, where is God? God said, give to your parents. He said, no, I have to give to God. God said, I said, give to your parents. That's me. You have to follow the word of God fully. You want to drop, God, take this your 10%. Make sure Deborah does not come after me. According to the American gangster, you promised me peace of mind. I don't feel so peaceful. Because the mafia boss promised him peace of mind. And that's what some of us do with God. He said, God, you promised peace of mind if I give you a tenth. And God said, when did you give me a tenth? He said, were you not in church last time? He said, I didn't see that one. The usher stole it. How far? Next. He said, but God, what are you saying? I said, I'll prove to you, you didn't give me a tenth. Last Christmas, what did you do for your father? Nothing. January, nothing. You said you were doing first fruit in church. February, your friend that is broke, his house rent was due. You knew. What did you do for him? Nothing. That it was me showing up. It was me. That your cousin that came one day, 2 weeks before exam, he had not paid his fees. I made sure that you had the money. 2 weeks before that, you were paid. Were you not? Yes, sir. How much? 100,000. How much did your cousin ask for? 10. Why didn't you give him a tenth? I've told you, if you want to go with judgment with God, you will so go to prison. You come and say, Lord, I have given. I have read my tithe. I told you, when God wants, he said, if you will count iniquity, who will stand? When God stood beside Job, Job couldn't believe what he was hearing. Job had said that, I have looked, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I will not look at another woman apart from my wife. He said, a man of God, that man is so holy. When sisters are talking to him, this is how he looks to the heavens. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Job went beyond that. He said, who has come to my house and has not seen food to eat? All the good works that you and I know. Then one God was going to answer. He said, Job, when we needed to make a new universe, I told you to make a new one. Were you able to do it?
Job said, what are you talking about? Do I look like a god to you? Fine, mark it down against him. You can't do anything. Next. When I was creating Orion, where were you? He said, what was I supposed to be there? Put it down, put it down. Absenteeism during creation. After God finished with Job, Job said, I heard of you with the hearing of my eyes, in my ears. Now I think I get the point. That's why I said, Christians, if you were listening to our sermons, I said, there's one sermon I sent out. I talk about the power of works, faith and works. I said, listen, I was talking about the matter of mercy. When you go to God, don't ever forget. Have mercy on me, your child, your servant. That's what you should keep on asking. Then I say, Lord, I have tithed. I will prosper. God said, if I slap you, say, I asked you for 50% of what you earned. You gave me 10%, and you ate the rest. And when I say I asked you, I expected 10% to go to your church, 10% to your parents, 10% to help those brethren you left back in school. Were you not on campus at a time? Now they're giving you a big job as a mobile worker. You are forgotten that that campus, there was a time you didn't see food to eat. Have you gone back there to give them something? And I laid it upon your heart several times. And I brought the proposal to your doorsteps. All you needed to do was just commit 10,000 naira a month to it. You did not. And you're coming to argue with me now. Are you getting what I'm saying? Precepts, commandments. Are you following my point? Before we can hold on to the word, the promise, they go together. Whatever God has joined together, don't even try to put asunder. The problem we Christians have is that we like to cut it. Follow the Lord thy God with a tithe and forget the rest. Follow the Lord thy God with attendance on Sundays. There are Christians, where else will I be on Sunday? And they feel so righteous when they're saying it. They feel so righteous. No. As a good Christian. There was one slave movie I watched long ago. The captain of a slave ship. The captain of a slave ship. His conscience was, you know, smiting and smoting and smothering him. They brought, listen, a slave girl for him to use to warm the temperature. No, I'm a Christian. You know, that kind of thing. Say, let us sail tomorrow. He said, no, tomorrow is Sunday. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Are you seeing my point? God said, but you are the captain of a slave ship. You are the captain of a slave ship. You won't sail on Sunday because the Sabbath day, as far as you are concerned, to keep it holy. You won't touch a slave girl because, you know, I've made a covenant with my eyes. But you are the captain of a slave ship. But you are the captain of a slave ship. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. He said, that's the only way God will look and give you the inheritance that used to belong to the strongest of the Anakim. Have you gotten my point? Bow down your heads, let us pray.